Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetlands. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And we're going to start the hour talking about the demographics of South Dakota. And joining me is state demographer and census data director. Her name is Weiwei Zhang. Thanks so much for joining us today on Dakota Midday.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me over here.
So let's, you're new to the position as a state demographer, so tell me how it's going so far.
Oh, I'm still in the process of figuring out the role. So I guess it's actually has multiple roles. For example, there's also part of the role as like representative for population estimates. Mm-hmm. That have to conversation with the people, the groups from Census Bureau. And then on the other side, I also talk to the local stakeholders and also talk to people from the governor's office. And also, and myself is a researcher, myself is a tenure track a faculty member at the Department of Sociology myself, who is working on my own research. So there's multiple roles, a lot about it. Yeah.
And myself,
the things that I learned a lot about South Dakota, but just to be honest, myself is very new to this area. But it's just fascinating to learn all the changing demographics. It's actually changed quite rapidly, and I think it's... not only myself as a researcher, I think the general public should also know, be aware of the changing and also the upcoming changes.
Well, paint that picture for me of what is changing and so rapidly.
Oh, okay. I think the first thing I want to talk about is the if we look at the reported number of foreign-born in South Dakota in 2010, there was like 1,300-ish. And then in 2000, in this American Community Survey, which is conducted 5 years, estimated from 2009 to 2014, now the number goes up to 2,300. So just there's like big growth, which is over less than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big increase. And then this increase of this immigration to South Dakota, I mean, there's also this changes in these group compositions. For example, in 2010, for the foreign-born coming from Latino, like Hispanic countries, there's only about... I think it's less than 20%, 18%. But in this new group, in the 2013, there's actually from the Latino population among the foreign-borns, there's actually 27%. So this we're seeing the growth in the immigration in this foreign-born population, and also the foreign-born population is not like evenly growth. There's actually more from Hispanics. So this actually will, and also another thing is that this growth is not even across the state geography. So the growth of Hispanic population and also to a less extent, the Asian population, is more concentrated in some areas. For example, Huron City. Did I say the name correctly?
You did, yes.
I'm testing our audience tolerance with my accent. So Huron City, I actually was working on my own some paper. I looked at the Huron, and I was so surprised. For example, Huron City, back in 2000, there is only 143 reported by Census Bureau, mm-hmm. Hispanics. And then in 2013, there is 1,400. So the growth in this group itself, there is like 700, more than mm-hmm. 700 growth, right? And back in 2000, it only is like 1% of the total Huron City population. But now in 2013, it counts 10% of the Huron City population.
And that growth comes from businesses there, jobs there?
I'm sorry?
I mean, it comes from jobs that are attracting these people there?
Oh, this is something they really need to find it out, because I don't know exactly by Huron, because this is something I'm still looking at it, but I know that at the state level, most of these foreign people come and work at the manufacturing industries.
Okay.
And some of those manufacturings, I didn't look specifically what are those things. But at the national level, most of those immigrants, Hispanics, going to small town cities in the Middle West and these areas, most of them going to the meat packing, like food processing manufacturing industries. But I cannot say that's the case with Huron, because I'm not local. I would say that more local people probably can tell more details about what's
right.
going on at the local area. Yeah.
And is it your job to understand the why, or is it your job to just look at the numbers?
Well, to understand why is important. I think the more important to understand how they are doing there. First is that how to this group, how they are doing there. The second question is that how they are contributing to the local. And third question is how these local people interacting, how their view toward, like, these newcomers, basically. So it's like multiple questions can be asked.
And
so
is this?
It's to ask why and even how they get to those places is important. But then, since they are here in the local, I want to know how they are doing there, and also because there's in the past a couple of years there's a news report about some small towns which have also seen the rapid growth of Hispanic. Most of them are immigrants. In their community, there are some reports, sad reports about this group of people. They lack social service, and most of them are not citizens, meaning that they are not, they don't have the right to vote. So, and then they also talk about the local communities, how they like feel. How there's difficulties, obstacles, interacting, really have a good interaction, social contact with these newcomers. So this is, I would say that for this group self, I want to understand how they're doing, and then I also want to know how they can, what are the impacts they are bringing to the local communities.
And so is this something where you will send out a survey, or?
Yes, right now we are, I'm more interested in using census data, like it's not only understanding what's going on in South Dakota, but so I use like national census data and to understand where do they, this huge national pattern, where do they move dispersed into the new destinations, and in those new destinations, do they still concentrate and gradually form their own enclaves or communities? And then I also want to know, based on these kind of demographic work, and then I can pick up some typical areas for doing the field work, because I understand the most interesting nuanced stories, and to understand the complexity of those integration and interaction, all these things should be built on from this field work, observations and even surveys.
And that's something that will come with time in your position?
Yeah, that will, and also will require collaborations. It's not, we'll try to encourage more collaboration between me, my colleagues, and even other disciplines from other institutions.
And, I mean, you're located in Brookings, correct?
Yes, I am.
And then do you work with the other colleges and universities in data collection? Or is there a data center at each school?
Oh, are you asking about this SDC, State Data Center?
Mm-hmm.
This data center, I'm just learning that. So before I came here, I thought it was a center that helped the public to have some, like, consumption of census data, which myself, very much. But then after I came here, I found this SDC is a kind of middleman role between Census Bureau, state government, and then the local people. So it's for each state, there is a state data center. And then there's also a regional office who supervise the state data center from each state. And then we sometimes have the regional conference, regional meetings. Actually, yesterday I just had a meeting with our Denver regional office. And then, so it's like all these kind of structures will try to ensure that the communications between Census Bureau and the local and the state level officials, other departments, and then also the general public, all these communications can be very smooth. So the people will know what kind of data products, what are the new findings, information being disseminated by Census Bureau. And then if there's concerns and comments about the census product, and even just what I think the Census Bureau can do a better job. So I'm also collecting the comments and the critiques of the things and try to make sure that we deliver to Census Bureau for them to understand our local concerns.
Now, how That's often, yep, nope, that makes perfect sense. How often does the Census Bureau release new numbers? I mean, they only take a census every 10 years. So how often do you get new numbers, and where do those numbers come from?
Well, this is a big question. First is that we have the national census data not only coming out every 10 years. So the decennial census idea is something, I mean, that's why we have this American Community Survey, which is also a national scale data collection process. And the idea to have this kind of survey is to try to provide more updated census, like population, demographic, economic data, not at the 10-year basis. So for this American Community Survey, it actually comes out every year.
Okay.
But then for every year, this one-year kind of basis, ACS, we call them ACS, is American Community Survey, they come out more frequently, but their target area is that they report statistics on area that has more than 65,000 population. So some small towns will not be included in this one-year estimates. But then they also have three-year estimates. Three-year estimates will cover areas that has a population below 65,000, but then still have to be above 20,000, I think. And then there is also a five-year estimate, which basically cover every area.
Okay.
So they have these differences.
And then some numbers were just released for the last couple of years as well for just from tax returns, too. You can use that information as well, right?
That one is a different one. That one is tax return. That's from IRS.
Mm-hmm.
That's another data source. That one actually will report, I think it's very useful for tracking the migration patterns at the county level, because they will report like how many people in this county, and then next year they move to the other county. It's a different kind of data source.
Okay, so but we are seeing an out migration, especially of younger people, are we not, in South Dakota?
Yeah, we're seeing that. Just still take the Huron as the example, that we've seen the growth of Hispanic and Asians, but then all the growth, and then if you take the difference between the total population in 2013 and 2000, you will find the difference actually is smaller than the growth, meaning that actually there is people, mostly the native whites, and non-Hispanic whites, they actually moved out. Yeah, and another thing that can look at is that we can look at is this younger age population moved out of the rural counties, And there's also this change. Demographics includes if we look at the population pyramid, meaning that the share of each age group in the total population for each group, right? And then the Hispanics in South Dakota, actually 35% of the Hispanic population here is under age 15. So I mean, just to think about in next year, think about the school the student population mm-hmm. in school after 10 years, and then it's basically the population will not be like what I'm seeing here today.
So you take all of the figures and you compile them all, and then you offer your opinion. Who else is the data for? I mean, who uses who is the most frequent user of data? Is it economic development cities and economic development, or schools, or who uses this?
Well,
these numbers?
I think that for the planners, city planners, mm-hmm. and even school education planners, for example, for doing school enrollment projections, right, and then. Because the incoming student population will be different, and then how to do the recruitment and how to like this kind of projections to future planning, and then also to knowing the current because the census data is not only we are talking about all the population changing demographics, but then there's also economic factors, all the things reported. For example, the poverty level and also the industries, all the things reported by the Census Bureau. And those things, information can be used for economic developers or investors. They want to know the service population in the local area, for example, within 20 miles, something like that, will know what is the population and economic kind of status of the local area, so people can have an idea from the census data.
And you said, as a sociologist, you're doing your own research. Talk a little bit about what you're looking at.
Well, my research, I actually graduated from Brown. When that was there, my work is, I use the contemporary, meaning like very up-to-date census data. But another part of my work really focuses on historical census data. The project I worked with my previous advisor is like geocode, meaning that we have the full count 1880 census data, like with people's addresses. So we use some geographic information system, figure out where their addresses, and then reconstructed the historical street grid, and then put the household onto the map. Because then I kind of reconstructed the whole city or the people's where do they live, those kind of picture for the historical times. And then I myself is also working on the 1940 census data. I worked a lot with the historical census data. But on the other side, myself is also interested in the contemporary demographic change in the country, especially interested in the Asian groups. And then not Asian groups as a big title, like umbrella category, but also the major Asian groups by the country where they come from. So I'm particularly interested in their residential patterns, where they live, and in their neighborhood. What is the thing going on in their neighborhood? What kind of forms? Where do they form their neighborhood? And what that kind of neighborhood can serve as a role to those individuals' outcomes, as like health outcomes, their economic mobility or social mobility, so those kind of relationships.
All right, Weiwei Young, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very
much. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.